want to say thank you both for coming in today.
Deborah, thank you
having
so
you.
Much.
Thank
we
you
really
so much.
Yeah, hopefully you can come back in. And I'd like the listeners to stay on, if they can, for the Peter B. Collins Show that's going to be coming up next right after the CBS News. Have a fantastic Wednesday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. If the bombing of a Shiite shrine in Samarra was designed to ruin the country's democratic chances, it's also a chance for Iraq to deny al-Qaeda and others that victory.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where President Bush conferred by phone about the bombing with the Iraqi prime minister and urged him, in the words of a spokesman, to turn this moment of tragedy into an opportunity. The U.S. hopes the incident won't provoke a surge in sectarian violence, and we're told the two leaders vowed to destroy al-Qaeda, which the U.S. believes is behind the bombing.
U.S. forces have been asked to come back to Samarra to help keep a lid on that situation. U.S. troops had turned security of that shrine over to Iraqi forces out of sensitivity. Now a couple dozen Iraqi police are being questioned about possible complicity in the bombing. The FDA is considered unlikely now to approve a new appetite-curbing drug from Sanofi Aventis due to the thumbs down from the FDA's own expert panel. The drug does work, but it also makes some who take it depressed, even suicidal. The decision is expected late next month. A federal report on the bloodbath at Virginia Tech points to a failure to get state medical information into the federal database for the killer's ability to buy the guns he used to kill 31 people. Health Secretary Mike Leavitt.
Those who engage in this kind of terrible activity often signal before they do it that they intend to.
The House has passed, and the Senate is expected to support a bill to order states to computerize their records, medical and criminal, to make sure the federal system is up to date for those gun-buying background checks. The NRA likes that bill, too. President Wayne LaPierre.
There's a lot in this bill that makes the National Instant Check System function fairer for the law-abiding people, and if they feel they've been treated unjust, there's an opportunity to go before a court of law and have a judge in a court rule on the merits of the case.
The NRA says it is all about getting guns out of the hands of criminals while protecting honest people's rights. Democrats chairing two congressional committees are subpoenaing two more former White House officials to see if they know anything about the firing of eight federal prosecutors, former White House counsel Harriet Meyer and former political director Sarah Taylor. New York Senator Charles Schumer.
We realize the White House is never going to cooperate, and we have to go the subpoena route. It's sad that it has come to this.
No comment yet from either Myers or Taylor. The Washington State Trooper said the SUV had a number of open alcohol containers inside, and the vehicle was drifting among the lanes as though the two occupants were distracted or something. It wasn't until he got the vehicle stopped and he could see the man and woman, ages 19 and 20, were both naked, that it all clicked. On Wall Street, the Dow soared 187 points today to close at 13,482. The Nasdaq gained 32 points, and oil prices up 91 cents at $66.26 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Hi, I'm Michael Waltrip here. You don't have to drive a 500-mile race to know the importance of getting the most out of a tank of gas. Let NAPA help make your fuel go further with 3M Complete Fuel System Cleaner for just $8.49 a bottle. It not only keeps your car running smooth, it also restores power and fuel efficiency. The pros have trusted 3M car care products for years, and you can too.
NAPA, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Hi, I'm Smokey, and this is my new friend, Ernie.
Hi.
Ernie wants to be a biker.
Sure do.
Okay, just calm down, Ernie. First, you need a bike. Then you need Geico Motorcycle Insurance. They cover most kinds of bikes and have money-saving discounts. And finally, you'll need a nickname. Something that suits you, like, I don't know, Fuzzy Bunny.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Too late. It's already stuck, Fuzzy.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
A new census study says most of us like to be alone in our cars. That's just the way it is.
The vast majority of Americans do what this woman does.
I drive myself.
According to the survey, which is based on statistics gathered in 2005, 77% of Americans drive to work alone. The second largest group, around 11%, share rides.
I carpool with him.
Yeah, we take turns every other day.
Only 4.7% use public transportation. 2.5% walk to work. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
They're testing a squirrel for rabies in Germany. The fast little varmint invaded the living room window and bit a woman. She ran out into the street screaming, with the squirrel hanging on by his teeth. Finally shook him off. The squirrel dashed into a construction site and bit a builder, then scampered into a nearby garden where it latched onto a 72-year-old man who beat it to death with his crutch. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When your washing machine makes a mess, you get a plumber. When your hair is a mess, you go to a hairdresser. But where do you go when there's a mess on your floors? Visit an Orrick store. We're the only place for lightweight vacuums, expert advice for a cleaner, healthier home, and really great deals. Call 1-800-989-4200 or click Orrick.com or drive on over today. Whatever mess you're in, we'll get you out of it.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We originate in sizzling San Francisco, where summer has arrived. It's 85 along San Francisco Bay today. On today's program, we kick off with a preview of next week's important progressive conference in Washington, D.C. It's the Take Back America Conference, and this will be my second year in attendance. We'll be broadcasting live from the event there at the Hinckley Hilton, and we'll get a preview of that from Bob Borisage coming up here in just a moment as he will join us. Also on today's program, Jonathan Haffetz returns. He's an attorney at the Brennan Center at New York University. And he is one of the attorneys for the guy who we offhandedly refer to as the mullet-headed terrorist suspect. His name is Al Mari, and he was a legal U.S. resident when he was snatched in Peoria, Illinois. And he's been in a Navy brig, and he is at the center of the court case that represents a major setback for the Bush administration in its detention, interrogation, and kangaroo court policies. So Jonathan will join us with the details in about half an hour. Next hour, Michael Hansen will be with us from Consumers Union. We're going to talk about various food safety issues, from E. coli in your spinach and your hamburger to the problems with cat and dog food and with melamine from China in it. And we'll get his take on whether the government is really working to protect consumers. Dr. Michael Hansen next hour. And then we're awaiting confirmation from our friend Larissa Alexandrovna. She's got a powerful new profile and interview up at rawstory.com with the FBI, former FBI agent Eric O'Neill. And he was profiled in the movie Breach, which is all about Robert Hansen, the guy who was a totally born-again Catholic and committed treason and spied for the Russians against our country. That's all ahead. Plus, at some point during the Free Speech Zone, we're going to talk to some California dreamers. They are on a train that just departed from Los Angeles, headed to Washington, D.C. And these are people who have some ideas about immigration reform And I'll just give you a tip. They don't think that amnesty is a dirty word, and they also don't think that this bill represents amnesty. We'll be talking with the folks on the train some point later on in the program. And you're always welcome to call with a question or comment. We pay for that call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Robert Borisage joins us. He's the president of the Institute for America's Future and co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. They're hosting the Take Back America conference in Washington next week. And Bob graduated from the Yale Law School. He's been in the think tank land for many years, first at the Institute for Policy Studies, and more recently over at the Campaign for America's Future. Bob Borisage, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon.
I am just very excited about what's going on next week. I've got the rundown on the various speakers and events that are taking place. Give us the overview first, Bob. What is your mission with the Take Back America conference?
Well, this is going to gather nearly 3,000 progressive activists from across the country and across the various tribes of the progressive community. There are going to be union leaders there and organizers. There's going to be citizen action organizers, ACORN organizers, feminists, environmentalists, the hip-hop generation. And they come together to take stock of where we are and where we're going. And this year we come together at a point when progressives are really driving the national political debate. And so we will have many of the political candidates that are trying to run for president before us competing for those votes, knowing that they're talking to the activists that are going to be very active in primaries across the country. And we'll lay out both the failure of conservatism, as we've seen over the last years, and the kind of core initiatives and elements of a new progressive agenda.
Well, Bob, I want to commend you on what you're doing, and just based on last year's event, I'm still talking about that one day when the speakers included Senator Clinton, Speaker Pelosi, Barack Obama, Tom Vilsack from Iowa, who's no longer a candidate for president, and John Kerry, who gave one of his most powerful speeches since I've been following him. And it really encapsulated the great range of views and also the real talent pool that the Democratic Party has that is often, I think, overlooked or unsung, particularly by the corporate media.
Yeah, you're going to see that again this year. One time I'm very excited about is Monday night. We're going to have a panel with the new populist senators that have come into the Senate. John Tester, Sherrod Brown from Ohio, Bernie Sanders from Vermont, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota. They really represent a new form of populist politics coming into the Senate at the same time, which is unlike anything that's ever happened in my lifetime. And so they're going to talk about the politics that got them there and where they think they're going to change the debate over the next years.
Well, and Tuesday is a power lineup with Bill Richardson.
Tuesday's the full deal, right?
Bill Richardson, presidential candidate. Barack Obama, presidential candidate. John Edwards, presidential candidate. And, Richardson does the breakfast, and then the lunch speakers are Obama and Edwards.
And Hillary just moved herself to, I think she's coming right after Richardson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So they're all four on Tuesday.
Oh, that is a power lineup. And I've got to fly out early Wednesday morning, so I'm glad about that change. As I would like to hear the latest from Senator Clinton. If you recall, last year her presentation was widely covered because while I think she scored well on domestic issues, Bob, when she started talking about what was then a very fuzzy position on the war in Iraq, the people in the audience booed her. And that was picked up. That was the soundbite, unfortunately for her, that got passed out from the Take Back America conference.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that 5 years ago or 6 years ago, a candidate running from the DLC side of the party would have enjoyed a headline that said, came to Washington, got booed by liberals. Now progressives are driving this debate, and so Hillary has, Senator Clinton has cured her position on the war, and she voted against the last supplemental. And she's, I think, moved on health care and on energy and on the economy in a whole set of ways towards a more progressive posture. And I think there's no accident about that. And we'll see what kind of reception she gets. I think she gives a very powerful progressive speech. So With her new position on the war, I think she may be all right.
And I'm not sure it's a cure, Bob. it's a pivot. It's an improvement. I'll grant you a lot of words that describe change. I'm not sure that she has cured her position, particularly those of us who have been to her left on that issue all along.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of remaining concern, really, about the fact that she has never led on this. She's always been behind the parade and not in front of it. And at a time when you've wanted courage, we haven't seen it from her on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, that vote where she joined Obama in voting and did what Edwards had been calling for from the outside of voting against
the supplemental
that had no date certain in it, I think was a real sign of improvement.
Oh, I agree. I give her credit for pivoting and for really changing her position. She still seems to be unable to acknowledge it with an apology, and that's a bit of a sticking point, I think, for some progressives, but we'll have to see how that plays out. It's very interesting to see the recent poll numbers that show that while she is leading with Democratic primary voters, that in the current matchups with the likely Republican opponents, it's Barack Obama who polls as the one who can beat them.
Yeah, I think those early polls really don't mean much. A lot of it's name recognition. It's fascinating that Barack Obama does so well, given that so many, he's the one who's probably the least known of all of these major candidates on the Democratic side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Republican polls are very misleading. So you have Giuliani as a leader, and I think it's inconceivable that he survives the Republican primaries once they learn that he's pro-choice and pro-gun control and,
he's also just a generally nasty guy.
And is corrupt.
And you compare him to Fred Thompson on the amiability rating, and he goes down in flames.
Yeah. So I think a lot of these early polls, these early horse race polls, aren't as interesting to me as... What is interesting in the polling is this dramatic and really, I think, almost unprecedented change in party identification, where the Republican Party, people who are identifying themselves as Republicans, has dropped dramatically over the last year, and those identifying as Democrats has increased. And what you see is self-described independents and moderates moving very much closer to a progressive position, and some of them, in fact, even enlisting in the party, partly because of the excitement about choosing among these primary candidates.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, let's tip off our listeners here. We will be live on Monday and Tuesday from the Take Back America conference in our usual West Coast time period, which is 6 to 9 Eastern, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. I know my colleague Tom Hartman from Air America will be there, and many other progressive radio folks are there. Is there streaming of all of the speeches on your website?
There will be streaming certainly of the presidential speeches, and I think of many of the other sessions. And then there is we're going to have about 45 bloggers there who are going to be blogging instantaneously. Most of the big progressive bloggers will be there. And it will be significant portions of it will be on C-SPAN, and all of it will be on Link TV and other alternative television.
Okay. And your primary website, is it ourfuture.org?
Right. O-U-R future, ourfuture.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there isn't a separate one for Take Back America?
Well, once you get there, it'll switch you into Take Back America.
Okay. Great. Sometimes I get confused because there's so many different ways to get there. We're going to take a break and return with Bob Borisage. If you have a question or comment about progressive politics in general or the Take Back America conference, you can bring it on now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff.
Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, don't bring your conservative girlfriend, okay?
She's a real type A, and she's overinsured. Her favorite castaway is Thurston Howell III. She doesn't like big government, so it's no surprise I can be her lover long as I downsize. My conservative girlfriend got a tiny little heart full of passion. My conservative girlfriend, every Friday we go liberal bashing.
Yeah, don't bring your conservative girlfriend to the Take Back America conference. Bob Borisage is with us. He's the president of the Institute for America's Future, and they are the sponsors of this event that convenes early next week in Washington. And as we mentioned, the Peter B. Collins Show will be live from the event on Monday and Tuesday. We're expecting lots of great guests. We've already confirmed Senator Klobuchar of Minnesota. And we also have word that Jason Alexander, who people remember from Seinfeld, George Costanza, the former employee of the New York
Yankees will be with us before he goes on stage, and that'll be on Tuesday evening. So those are just a couple of things for us to look forward to. And Bob Borisage today, in collaboration with the fine folks at Media Matters, who are regular contributors to our program and great contributors to improving the media in this country, they issued a report in collaboration with the Campaign for America's Future called Why a Conservative America is a Myth. And this is something that people really need to hear, because the media highlights the work of conservatives, features conservatives in talk radio at the ratio of 14 to 1, and many people come away thinking that we are a distinct minority.
Right, and the punditry in town deeply believes it. So even after 2006, where Democrats won stunning victories up and down the ticket, the media response was, well, this is still a conservative country, and Democrats must have won by recruiting conservative candidates and running kind of wolves in sheep's clothing to fool people. And, of course, the conservatives who had just suffered the defeats announced, well, it really wasn't conservatism that failed. It was that Democrats managed to fool people about how conservative they are. The reality was, we had a set of candidates that ran more populist campaigns on economic issues and were against the war, for raising the minimum wage, against the global trade accords that are disemboweling American industry. The most populist campaigns we've seen in years, and that was a central part of the success, because in fact, if you look at neutral polling data, Americans, the majority of Americans are with progressive positions on a whole range of economic, social, and foreign policy issues.
Mm-hmm. And let me just tick off a couple of the results here. 69% of Americans believe the government should care for those who can't care for themselves. Read Katrina. 77% of Americans think Congress should increase the minimum wage. 61% support embryonic stem cell research. 62% want to protect Roe versus Wade. And only 3% of Americans rank same-sex marriage as the most important social issue. And on the environment, 75% of Americans are willing to pay more for electricity generated by renewable resources. And on down the line, people take positions that are identified as progressive, yet the media and at least important parts of our political leadership don't reflect that.
Right. And, you know, I've been talking to the press about how progressives are now driving the debate, certainly in the Democratic Party and I think nationally. And their response has been largely, well, that's, of course, for the primaries, because they've got to face all those Democratic voters. But in the general, they're going to move back to the center. And I keep telling them, we are the new center. This set of policy positions on health care, on energy, on getting out of Iraq, on changing our economic structure so that it works for the many and not just the few. This is what the vast majority of Americans are now looking for.
Well, we were using a metaphor about a four-lane highway just on the program yesterday, Bob, and maybe it's time to restripe the highway and identify where the center actually should be, not where it has drifted over the past few years.
Yeah, and you know, this myth about a conservative America has had a very big effect in Democratic circles. A lot of Democratic political consultants and pollsters believe it. And so you get candidates who are much more cautious and who believe that they have to tiptoe around what they believe because they think it will offend the sensibilities and make them unable to assemble a majority in the election.
Mm-hmm.
And we strongly believe that that's simply not just bad politics. It gets where Americans are wrong.
Yeah. Well, Bob Borisage, I look forward to seeing you next week. I'm looking forward to being at the conference, and we'll certainly say hello, maybe have a chance to talk to you live from the event. And if people want full information, go to the website OurFuture.org, and that's where you can log on next week and catch the live stream on many of these events. We won't be able to cover the speeches live. We'll be interviewing people there at Radio Row, so it might be a good 1-2 punch to have your radio and your internets available. Bob, thanks a lot.
We'll get lots of sleep this weekend. You won't get much next week.
I'll sleep on the plane, too.
Okay, take care.
Thanks a lot. Bob Borisage from the Campaign for America's Future and the Take Back America Conference. Stay tuned. Coming up next, I have it right here. Jonathan Heifetz will join us. We're going to talk about the torture case before the court and a setback for the Bush administration. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver, and I'm happy to say, Measure A. Why am I happy about this, you ask? Reasons both gone down in both measures were self-serving. I believe that Measure C was nothing more than an attempt by the county
last-ditch effort by them to help out the developers who gave them large amounts of cash. And on the other hand, Chris Fitz and Landwatch would you have you believe that they only had the citizens' best interest in mind. I personally believe that both sides had their own. Now it's time for you, the voter, to show up at that next county supervisor meeting and make your elected officials do their job and write a general plan that is actually good for Monterey County. And if they don't, you need to hold them accountable on Election Day.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Wake up, everybody. Your constitutional rights are at risk, and they're in the same boat as alleged terrorists detained by the Bush administration. Because if they can hold a legal resident of the United States in a Navy brig without charging them, it could happen to you.
World has changed so very.
much hatred, war and poverty. Pick up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Read it and then listen for what you have to say.
Joining me now is Jonathan Haffetz. He is from the Brennan Center at the New York University School of Law, and he's litigation director of their Liberty and National Security Project. Jonathan, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
And thank you for the work that you're doing. I know that you probably receive nasty, flaming emails from people who question your patriotism and who challenge you for defending those who are accused of terrorist intentions or terrorist acts against the United States. And you won a very stunning legal victory in a what's regarded as a quite conservative appeals court in Richmond, Virginia, just on Monday of this week. And it revolves around the case of a citizen of Qatar, that's the Arab Emirate spelled with a Q, and he was a legal resident in Peoria, Illinois, 90 days or 91 days after September 11th, he was picked up and he was charged with credit card fraud, lying to federal agents. And then shortly thereafter, he was moved into military detention. That was in 2003. And for the last 4 years, for the most part, he has been held at the Navy brig in Charleston. And this is a remarkable case because, as I pointed out in my introduction, Jonathan, the language of the so-called Military Commissions Act that was before the court on this matter permits the President of the United States to designate anyone, including a U.S. citizen, as either an enemy combatant or an unlawful enemy combatant. We're going to talk about the precise language here in a moment. But I think it's important for people to know, when they look at Ali al-Mari, they have to look at that and say, that could be me.
That's absolutely right. I mean, the government's whole argument is not based on citizenship or non-citizenship. The proposition is they could pick up anyone, including any American citizen, and detain them indefinitely without charge as an enemy combatant based upon the president's say-so.
Mm-hmm. And can I inject just a lighter note here for a moment? The file photograph that is used to depict Ali al-Mari shows him sporting a mullet haircut. And I'm wondering if he's been permitted to keep his hair in the style that he prefers during his 4 years of detention in a military brig.
Well, he doesn't actually look quite different now. He's aged considerably, which may be a testament to how long, you know, how long he's been in and also the conditions he's been under. He has a long beard. He looks a little bit he looks different now, but, you know, different than he did there.
Yeah. Yeah. It is striking, though. You don't typically see people who are accused of being, you know, terrorists with a mullet haircut. So it does set him apart. Tell us about your efforts to represent him. And after he was moved to the Navy brig in Charleston, how long did it take you to get a meeting with your client?
Well, after he was there, it took 16 months. For the first 16 months, almost a year and a half, they held him without any access to counsel, without any access to his lawyers, and, of course, no access to anyone else in the outside world. He was held, you know, completely incommunicado, cut off from everything. And that was part of what was going on here. It was a designed plan to subject him to really coercion and abuse, and it was done by basically cutting him off from all access with the outside world.
So was he given a similar treatment to Jose Padilla? With
absolutely. It was, very similar treatment, worse in many respects, he was given, you know, the same type of thing, sensory deprivation, isolation, locked in a tiny cell for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, denied recreation, denied light, sunlight, not told, denied basic religious items, including the Quran, basic necessities like a mattress or a blanket, toilet paper, soap, toothpaste at some point. I mean, really horrific stuff. Now, things have improved since then, in part as a response to a lawsuit we filed, and I think in part to the people at the brig themselves, the military officers who were there, who were not really setting the policy and, you know, I think recognize that Mr. al-Mari is a human being, just like anyone else. The problem here is not them. It's not rogue officers. It's the people in Washington at the highest levels. Initially, it was Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld and others who set detainee policy that are responsible.
And to your knowledge, what you just described is that Ali al-Mari was treated in a humane, an inhumane fashion. I would describe it that way easily. Was he tortured? Was he coerced, in your opinion?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the con level rose to the level of torture in certain respects. I mean, the threats against him and against his wife and family, threatening him that his wife and kids would be taken to Egypt, his wife would be raped. That actually constitutes torture under law. I mean, the sensory deprivation, the isolation itself, form of torture. But whether it's torture or just cruel and abusive treatment, it's illegal. I mean, whatever names you give it, it's wrong and was completely unnecessary to the stated goal of putting him there, which was to prevent him from committing any kind of terrorist act.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit about the charges that were originally placed against Ali al-Mari, and if, like Padilla, the charges have changed and the cast of alleged conspirators has changed.
The charges, there are no charges. The allegations against him they've changed from when he was indicted as on criminal charges. But the allegations have not particularly changed. But what's significant is that there's not been any evidence produced. They've just been, all they've done for the last 5 years is present allegations. They've yet to produce any evidence against him.
Mm-hmm. And so describe, in addition to the credit card fraud and lying to federal agents, what are the allegations against him?
Well, what they allege is that he was a quote-unquote sleeper agent who came to the United States to, what they allege is he was going to disrupt the financial operations through hacking into computers. They're not really very specific, but they allege that he knew or associated with high-level al-Qaeda officials. But again, this is all hearsay. There's been no evidence, no witnesses. Mr. al-Mari has vehemently denied the allegations. And, to me, the question is, if the government says all these things, and, why haven't they charged him? I mean, you would think that someone who's as bad a person as they say he is would be someone you'd want to put on trial, mm-hmm. someone you'd want to show the public how you got this information, how you're putting someone who's, a bad person away. Instead, they're just hiding behind this enemy combatant fiction and avoiding the Bill of Rights and the basic constitutional protections we're all entitled to.
Jonathan Haffitz, in your view, are the allegations purely circumstantial? I mean, we know, for example, that the hijackers attended flight schools, and that caught the attention of, at least in Minneapolis, FBI agent Colleen Rowley and others who tried in vain, like Phoenix, to get the attention of Washington about those activities. And the only circumstance I can see is that Ali al-Mari was studying computer science at Bradley University. Is that the basis for their claims of his ability to hack into the financial system?
Well, they say that. They make allegations regarding the, connected to the credit card fraud and try to turn the credit card fraud into allegations to something, some kind of scheme to disrupt the financial operations. That's what they've said. I mean, they make allegations about, about contacts with high-level al-Qaeda officials. But all this is just, this is just hearsay. It's something that a faceless government bureaucrat who, has just said in an affidavit. There's been no witnesses. There's been no hearing. There's been nothing to test the government's allegations, and that's what's so dangerous about this case. It's setting up a precedent where the government doesn't have to put people on trial. It can just condemn them for life based on a piece of paper that someone fills out that you never get to confront your accuser. You don't get any due process. It's completely, it's sort of what the whole Bill of Rights is set up to protect against.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jonathan Haffitz, did you have the opportunity to present oral arguments before the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, or was this all done through briefs?
Yes, both sides had an opportunity to present arguments.
Uh-huh. And tell me how you read the demeanor of the court at that time, and if the decision seemed somehow exceptional from that.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I think the court was clearly very engaged and was clearly, you know, recognized the significance of the issues and was, you know, listened and heard both parties and deliberated it. You know, I think it's, you know, I mean, he was clearly going to, you know, take everything into consideration carefully. That's certainly the impression I walked away with.
Mm-hmm. And so as the ruling was revealed on Monday, and two of those three judges held in your favor, did that come as a surprise to you?
Well, I mean, you know, we were very pleased with the result. I mean, and, you know, I mean, to me, you know, it's not so much what the judges say or didn't say, but to me, the entire proposition, you know, the notion that you could sort of pick up anybody in the United States and not put them on trial, but just hold them as an enemy combatant because the president signs a piece of paper, is so antithetical and contrary to, you know, the Declaration of Independence and the principles we're fighting for. It's kind of hard to imagine that being accepted. You know, I think if you talk to someone in, you know, you talk to someone in sixth grade or junior high school and you ask them, you know, you said to them, this is what happened, you know, they wouldn't believe you. I mean, they would say that, I mean, how can that happen in America? That's not, you know, what am I reading? What's the Constitution mean? You know, it's kind of amazing, I guess, to me that we're even kind of debating, that there's even really a debate that this is not something that's just so flatly unconstitutional.
Well, I certainly share that view, but the Military Commissions Act legalized some of the extreme power grabs envisioned by the Bush administration, in particular this unprecedented power that the president alone can determine who is an enemy combatant or an unlawful enemy combatant, and in turn can order them detained without charge, without trial, at Guantanamo or elsewhere on an indefinite basis. I mean, that's just stunning to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Military Commissions Act didn't quite do. I mean, it authorized military trials and also eliminated habeas corpus for certain individuals, particularly individuals like Guantanamo. You know, I'm not sure it quite reached that far, but even if Congress passed such a law, I think, you know, the Constitution is supreme, and, you know, that's why we have the Constitution. But, I think that Congress has not authorized this, you know, indefinite detention without any trial. I think that's what the court found.
All right, we'll talk further after a break. Jonathan Hafitz is with us from New York University's Brennan Center of Law. He's the litigation director of the Liberty and National Security Project. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
You got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
People are talking about the show on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes in front of the hour. We're talking with attorney Jonathan Haffetz from the Brennan Center at the New York University Law School. And he, among others, represents this Ali Al-Mari, who was a legal resident of Illinois going to school at Bradley in Peoria when he was picked up 3 months after 9/11 and then subjected to incredible deprivation and things that amount to torture while he was in custody, 4 years at the Navy brig in Charleston, and much of that time he was not permitted to contact lawyers or family members, just held incommunicado and uncharged. And yesterday, a federal appeals court in Richmond, Virginia, ruled in favor of the issues raised by the attorneys relative to Mr. Al-Mari's status and situation. And, Jonathan, explain, if you could, what the significance was in the court ruling about the difference between an enemy combatant and an unlawful enemy combatant.
I think the thrust of the ruling in this case was that Al-Mari is not a combatant at all. He's a civilian. Now, civilians are, you know, they're good civilians and they're people, bad civilians. I mean, people in jails are civilians, people who do wrong, commit terrorist acts or, commit other kinds of crimes, even heinous crimes. They're civilians. They may be, you know, alleged criminals, but they're civilians. And that's what the court said. He's a civilian accused of serious acts. And in America, when that happens, we put them on trial in a court. And we adjudicate whether they're innocent or guilty, and if they're guilty, we impose punishment. I mean, that's the system, but we don't militarize their detention. We don't call them a name like enemy combatant and then put them in a military jail without any kind of process.
And here's a quote from the New York Times, quoting Judge Motz, who I believe wrote for the majority. He said, Mr. Bush is powerless to have the military detain Mari any more than he could have ordered the military detentions of the Unabomber or the perpetrators of the Oklahoma City bombing.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's the point. I mean, it reaffirms what the principle the country was founded on. This notion that if someone's accused of something bad, you can't militarize their detention. They have to be tried in a court, and what it means here is you can't hold forever without charge.
Mm-hmm. And in his dissent, Judge Hudson, who is on loan to this court from another bench, wrote that President Bush had the authority to detain Al-Mari as an enemy combatant or belligerent because he is the type of stealth warrior used by Al-Qaeda to perpetrate terrorist acts against the United States. Now, that doesn't quite make sense to me, Jonathan, because, if that is the belief of Judge Hudson, wouldn't he move to have this man charged?
Well, that's what one would think, and that's what I think that, Judge Motz was saying, is that you have to try it. If that's the case, you have him charged, but they're saying if he's a warrior, he's no different than, this is what the dissent's saying, that he's no different than a combatant and another, a soldier in a World War II, and he could be detained. But I think it's kind of trying to put a square peg in a round hole. He's not on the facts that are alleged, and we deny, Mr. Al-Mari has denied them. But even on, if everything were true that they said, And again, it's not. It would mean that he's not a combatant. He's someone accused of bad criminal activity, and that's you get a trial. You're not held in military detention. You're held in a civilian jail and charged with charged with the offense. And if you're found guilty, you go to jail. That's that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan, I'm reading here again from the Times. The appeals court ordered the trial judge in the case to issue a writ of habeas corpus directing the Secretary of Defense to release Mr. Mari from military custody within a reasonable period of time to be set by the district court. Now, I'm sure the government will appeal this, and so that will be held in abeyance until the Supreme Court rules. Is that probably?
I think that's what the government will seek, certainly. They will try to have the decision held in stayed until the appeal is decided. They will initially appeal to the full Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. This was heard by a 3-judge panel, as you noted, but they will seek the review of the entire Fourth Circuit. And then after that, there's a review. Either side can review to seek review in the Supreme Court.
One more cite from Judge Motz, and I just realized that Judge Motz is a female. The president cannot eliminate, she wrote, constitutional protections with the stroke of a pen by proclaiming a civilian, even a criminal civilian, an enemy combatant subject to indefinite military detention. That's a very powerful statement.
It really is, and it's a rebuke to the administration's detention policies for, in this case, and I think generally, the notion that you can turn someone into a, you hold someone, jail them for life just by calling them a combatant and erase the distinction between, crime and between war and in the process eviscerate the Bill of Rights and the supremacy of civilian authority over the military. That's really at the heart of what our country was founded on. I mean, that's one of the main grievances of the Declaration of Independence, that the king tried to make the military supreme over the civilian sphere, and that's why we rebelled from England, founded our republic, and unfortunately this president wants to return us to that state.
And you're quoted in the Times article here, the executive could effectively disappear people by picking up any immigrant in this country, locking them in a military jail, and holding the keys to the courthouse. This is exactly what separates a country that is democratic and committed to the rule of law from a country that is a police state. Well, I appreciate your comment. It also infers the information that was released by the Brennan Center and the Center for Constitutional Rights and some other entities last week about some 39 individuals who have disappeared in U.S. custody, mostly overseas, but because they've disappeared, we don't really know.
That's exactly right. I mean, we don't know. I mean, the individuals who were disappeared, taken to so-called CIA black sites, and, that could happen anywhere, and what prevents that from happening in the United States is the writ of habeas corpus, which, gives an individual a right to go to court to test the lawfulness of their detention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anything else you'd like to add, Jonathan? This is it's encouraging to see a court rule this way. Of course, it could all be overturned by the Supreme Court, and I don't have great confidence in their wisdom on these issues.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's my pleasure, and these are clearly important issues, I think, at the heart of what our country's about. And the last thing I'll say is, these are the values we're fighting for, and I think it's very important that they not get lost. This is what the fight against terrorism is, to preserve, our democracy and our basic principles.
Well, I want to thank you for representing me so ably in these matters, because as you defend our Constitution, I think properly that you're defending me.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Jonathan, we'll talk again.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Jonathan Haffetz from the Brennan Center at New York University School of Law. And as we mentioned, he is the litigation director for the Liberty and National Security Project and one of the attorneys for Ali Al-Mari, a very interesting judgment or decision released by that 3-judge panel yesterday. Well, coming up next hour, we've got Hanson and Hanson. Michael Hanson will join us from Consumers Union. He's a staff scientist there. We're going to talk about some food safety issues. Then Larissa Alexandrovna has a powerful new piece up at rawstory.com based on the issues of Robert Hanson, the discredited and treasonous former FBI agent. That's ahead next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Pentagon says Iraq has more spectacular violence now than before the surge.
It is naive to think suddenly, boom, you snap a finger and you've got an instant change in the situation.
Safety concerns sink new type of diet pill. I'm Barry Bagnato in Silver Spring, Maryland.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Outrage in Iraq, where bombs today toppled the minarets of the sacred Shiite mosque in Samarra, the same mosque where the Golden Dome was blown up 16 months ago. Sunnis linked to Al-Qaeda are suspected. In retaliation, several Sunni shrines in and around Baghdad were attacked.
This is David Martin. A Pentagon report completed just before this latest terrorist spectacular cites the rise of high-profile attacks as one of the negative trends since the American troop surge began. The overall level of violence in Iraq remains unchanged, running at more than 1,000 attacks a week. No wonder the White House is warning not to expect the surge to produce dramatic results by September.
White House spokesman Tony Snow says instant change is too much to expect.
In a time of war, things happen gradually. What you are looking for are firm metrics about what is going on.
The Pentagon report says barriers and checkpoints around Baghdad have reduced the number of market bombings, but the terrorists have attacked 16 bridges since February. Now this.
This is Rocky Moselle. This Father's Day, give your dad the most unique gift he'll ever receive. Name a star after him. The International Star Registry will name a star after your father for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. The beautiful gift package will be personalized and the star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
There's a little boutique I'd love to shop because they know what I'm all about. My style, my colors, what I really like. Being a Sherwin-Williams preferred customer is the same way. My Sherwin-Williams store keeps all my colors on file. They invite me to special sales, send me decorating tips. They even gave me 20% off my first purchase. Being a Sherwin-Williams preferred customer makes shopping for paint almost as much fun as shopping for clothes. Almost.
Rimonabant, a diet drug already available in 18 countries, was soundly rejected today by a Food and Drug Administration advisory panel. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
FDA investigators warn that even though this new food cravings blocker helps dieters, it causes
an approximate doubling in the risk of psychiatric adverse events,
including suicidal thoughts and behavior. Aware of concerns, Rimonabant's maker pledged to screen out patients with histories of depression. But from her wheelchair, Lynn McAfee warned that obese people such as her are desperate.
It's not going to stop anybody who wants this drug.
Panel member Dr. Jules Hirsch.
We better learn some more and watch this whole affair very carefully before we lunge into massive use.
It'd be stunning if the FDA overrules the panel given the widespread worries. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Silver Spring, Maryland.
After the Virginia Tech massacre, President Bush ordered a federal report. It came out today. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has details.
The report blames confusion over privacy laws for a frequent failure by police, schools, and doctors to share information about potentially dangerous people. Health Secretary Michael Leavitt hopes to send the message
that they can, in fact, share information
when a person's safety or a community's safety is in fact at danger.
The study says vital information that could help get troubled students to counseling and prevent them from buying weapons often does not reach the appropriate agencies. The report also recommends that schools develop plans to quickly notify students of trouble on campus. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Today, the House, on a voice vote, approved a bill supported by the NRA to close loopholes in the background check system that allowed Virginia Tech shooter Sung-hui Cho to buy his weapons. The stage is set for a court battle between Congress and the Bush administration. Today, the House and Senate committees looking into the firings of those eight federal prosecutors issued subpoenas for White House political director Sarah Taylor and former White House counsel Harriet Myers.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. In anticipation of a new batch of subpoenas, President Bush has been hiring a lot more lawyers. Just last Friday, he announced the appointment of 9 new attorneys, including a deputy counsel, 2 special counsels, and 6 associate counsels. It brings to 22 the number of lawyers now working in the White House counsel's office under lead attorney Fred Fielding.
The president has tapped former Republican Party chairman Ed Gillespie to succeed Dan Bartlett as White House counselor. Bartlett's leaving early next month. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Get the good stuff!
Hi, Michael Waltrip here. You don't have to drive a 500-mile race to know the importance of getting the most out of a tank of gas. Let NAPA help make your fuel go further with 3M Complete Fuel System Cleaner for just $8.49 a bottle. It not only keeps your car running smooth, it also restores power and fuel efficiency. The pros have trusted 3M car care products for years, and you can too. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Hi, I'm Smokey, and this is my new friend, Ernie.
Hi.
Ernie wants to be a biker.
Sure do.
Okay, just calm down, Ernie. First, you need a bike. Then you need Geico Motorcycle Insurance. They cover most kinds of bikes and have money-saving discounts. And finally, you'll need a nickname. Something that suits you, like, I don't know, Fuzzy Bunny.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Too late. It's already stuck, Fuzzy.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. What do you say? We got back-to-back Hanson, and not the group from whatever they were from. Michael Hanson will join us in a moment. He's a staff scientist at Consumers Union. And we're going to talk about the discredited and now behind bars former FBI agent Robert Hanson in the second half hour as Larissa Alexandrovna, the manager of investigative reporting at RawStory.com, will join us. And next hour, we're going to check in with some dreamers. That's what they're calling themselves, a group of activists who hopped on a train in Los Angeles, headed for Washington, D.C., and they're trying to bring a powerful message about immigration reform. We'll get the lowdown about an hour from now. In the meantime, if you have a question or comment, feel free to give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, and you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. As we mentioned, Michael Hanson is a senior staff scientist and covers food safety issues at Consumers Union. That's the same outfit that brings you Consumers Reports. And he is a graduate like me of Northwestern University. Hey, you Wildcat, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Nice to talk with you. And according to your bio, you speak on mad cow disease, GMOs, pest management, antibiotics, and animal feed. And just wondering, what's for dinner tonight at your house, Michael Hanson?
we'll probably go out later for some Burmese. A gintok salad, which is a ginger, young ginger tea leaf salad. I really like this.
Oh, nice. I don't have any Burmese restaurants near me. Is it similar to Indian food with lots of good curries and stuff?
Actually, it's sort of interesting. Burmese cuisine in general can be a mixture of Chinese, Indian, and Thai. But these salads, that they're known for, are just sort of uniquely Burmese.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you tell them to hold the melamine?
Exactly.
Well, Michael, tell us what we should be most concerned about that's in the food pipeline right now. We have many listeners in the Salinas, California area where the E. coli in the spinach popped up late last summer. Here in California, we had a recall of ground beef with E. coli concerns just over the past week or so.
Yes, actually, that one expanded quite hugely. It went first, it was that Vernon, California-based United Food Groups. They first recalled on June 3rd. They said, we're going to recall, I think it was like 270,000 pounds of meat. They expanded a little bit on June 6th, and then on Monday they said, oh, they now expanded it to 5.7 million pounds.
Wow.
Has been recalled because of concern with this E. coli 015787. And also on Monday, Tyson's Fresh Meats in Texas announced that they were recalling 40,400 pounds of ground beef, also because of E. coli 015787. So there have been a number of these recalls. These are the largest ones. A couple months ago, just on meat, we had 2.8 million pounds of lunch meat or of cooked chicken breast, some of it Oscar Mayer and other brands, that for potential listeria contamination. So it shows that we really do need to take action in to strengthen inspection and to strengthen food safety. And yet, while we need to do more, what's being proposed right now is something where they would do less. There is this Section 123 in Title I of the Farm Bill that is coming up. There's language in there that would basically make it illegal for states to outlaw or take any action against a product that the Department of Agriculture has inspected and passed or has determined is of non-regulatory status.
So it's a preemption.
It's a preemption, and what it preempts is the even the states from doing food safety inspections functionally, because if something has been inspected and passed, like if meat has been inspected and passed at a plant and it shows up at a local supermarket and a local inspector goes in and says, no, this thing's covered with rat feces, they can't condemn it if this law goes through.
Wow.
And it turns out most of the inspections that lead to these large recalls, those are often initially done by state and local inspectors, not the federal folks, and those are often of products after they've been passed. So all that would disappear. This is really horrendous language that was sneaked into the Farm Bill. And the other section on non-regulated status is aimed at particularly those counties in California that wanted to decide to go GMO-free.
Right.
Those would be thrown out. And actually, there's also bills on biotech. California and a number of other states have set up actual bills that or state committees that would decide whether genetically engineered rice should be allowed to be grown in their states because of the huge contamination problems that happened last year. All those laws would disappear. This bill is, or this language is so bad that even the American AFDO, which is the Association of Food and Drug Officials, and that's literally the people that represent all the state and local food safety officials, they've come out and said this is a very bad language that has been snuck into the Farm Bill.
Now, Michael Hansen, tell us who's responsible. Who's the author of that bill, and who should we be talking to?
Well, this has been snuck into the House version of the bill. It was put in by, I'm trying to remember his name, but the important thing is the House Agriculture Committee, the chair of that committee is Colin Peterson from Minnesota. And so what would be good in terms of the readership in your area is there's actually four California congressmen that are on the House Ag Committee, three Democrats and one Republican, and three out of the four should be in your listening area. There is Joe Baca, who's in the 43rd District, and that's San Bernardino. That's actually Southern California.
A little south, yeah.
Yeah,
but
then you have Dennis Cardoza, who's in the 18th District.
Yep, okay.
And Jim Costa from
Fresno.
The 20th District, San Joaquin. And then Kevin McCarthy, the Republican, he's in the 22nd District, which is Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are on the committee, and we would urge people that they should be contacting their representatives and tell them to ask that that language be deleted, Section 123, Title I from the Farm Bill. It comes up for markup in the House Ag Committee on June 24th.
Well, thank you for that detailed information, and I will pursue that with Congressman Cardoza and see where he stands on that issue and see if we can work through him to get that removed. That's very troubling.
Yeah, you should. There's also will be released, I think, later this week, early next week. There's quite a number of organizations that are sending letters and will be making a big issue out of this next week, because in a certain sense what this is there was this bill last year called the National Uniformity Food Act, which would have said that unless laws are exactly the same as the federal laws in terms of food safety, they would not be allowed, and that would have gotten rid of all the state health programs, many of the state
and that was
inspection
that.
And other programs, and that was functionally defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's come up in this, yet once again, in this little bill. And it not only does food safety, it does biotech, and it also does, for people that are concerned about animal welfare. It takes out certain states, for example, have laws that you can't slaughter horses or sell horse meat. We have in Chicago, and I think San Francisco is the other place, where they decided they're not going to allow foie gras because of the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, California has banned it, I think, effective next year.
Yeah, and so those would disappear. Those would be challenged. So this little language does an awful lot of damage. And what's ironic is all these recalls show that we need more food safety regulation and more inspectors, not less, which is what that language would do. It would be a big step backward, and we need to move forward.
Well, last year when that preemptive legislation was proposed, California's then Attorney General Bill Lockyer was in Washington, and he unloaded on the, I think it was a Republican congressman from Michigan, who wanted to write that bill that, as you point out, was defeated, but it would have overridden many of the progressive food safety and disclosure issues that were passed by the voters in California.
And many states, but
yeah.
Yes, you're correct.
And Lockyer got so worked up that he dropped some nasty language that got quoted, and then he came on our show and just blithely blurted it all out, and luckily I didn't get a fine from the FCC. We're going to take a break and return with Michael Hansen. If you have a question or comment about food safety issues, maybe you're a farmer or you're involved in agriculture in the Salinas area, we welcome your comments and questions. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. We're talking with Michael Hansen, food safety specialist from Consumers Union, and this is the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove.
The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Ah, sounds good. Let's talk a little bit about some traffic that's sounding not so good. In Salinas, northbound 101 at Airport Boulevard, we do have a disabled vehicle. In fact, the off-ramp at this point is completely blocked. The traffic is backing up onto the freeway. CHP on the way to the scene. They got to get that vehicle out of there, as you might imagine. Felton-Graham Hill Road at Conference Drive. We have a fender bender. It's on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. And if you are in Santa Cruz, heads up on Highway 9 at Keystone Way. Folks, we got a tree down. It's blocking the entire roadway. The only good news is traffic is getting by on the right shoulder at this point. Taking a look at Highway 17, northbound and southbound, everything looking good. Highway 1, really no problems to report. This report brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department. Toyota owners, through June, visit your Genuine Toyota Service Center for qualifying service or new tire purchase and receive gas cards worth up to $30. See a participating dealer for details.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Can't get ahead, no way I try. And don't go into that drive-through burger joint. Somebody do. Not right now. I don't want to ruin it for you. We're talking about food safety issues.
Listen. Listen. I'm working 40 hours. 6 long days. And I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody. Lord, they're working poor folks to death. And when you pay your rent and your car note, you ain't got a damn thing left. Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah, and then you drive through and buy a burger and you don't know if it's going to kill you.
Something sick. Yeah, they are. Got me wondering which is which.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Hansen, not to be confused at all with Robert Hansen, the jailed FBI agent who was convicted of espionage. We're going to talk about him about 10 minutes from now with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Michael Hansen, as we mentioned, is a senior staff scientist with Consumers Union. They publish consumer reports, and he focuses on food safety issues. Michael, my snapshot of this whole system goes back to the mad cow issues of a few years ago. It was right around Christmas time. When we learned of a tainted shipment from Moses Lake, Washington. And my intrepid producer, Katrina Real, actually tracked down the guy who slaughtered the cow that came under suspicion and was confirmed to be carrying BSE.
Yeah, that was Dave Lothan.
Dave, yeah. And I've lost track of Dave, but he was a great guy, an outspoken man who really wanted to get at the truth and didn't believe that the USDA was going to deliver that. And through that experience, what I learned was when the tainted beef was processed and shipped to California, there was no mechanism to notify consumers. In fact, it's against the law for companies to, expose these bad shipments, or at least there's some policy violation there. Am I right?
Yes, I was just going to ask if we could talk about that. You're right. On December 23rd, 2003, after the discovery of that mad cow case, it turns out that the federal government does not have the legal authority to pull bad food off the market, to pull bad meat off the market. The only thing they can do is these voluntary recalls. And to get the cooperation of the companies, they had to agree that all the distribution list of where all that food goes is confidential business information that will not be revealed to the public. And furthermore, they entered into these memorandums of understanding with 13 different states, including California, where the government said, we'll give you these lists so you know where they are, but only if you agree not to make that information public.
Yeah.
And that's outrageous. And Consumers Union, our folks on the West Coast office actually worked an awful lot with Jackie Speier.
Yeah.
That bill, the Senate Bill 611, was passed October 2nd and signed by Governor Schwarzenegger of October 2nd of 2006, and which mandates that the public health authorities can now tell people exactly what stores that tainted meat is going to, and that law is supposed to be implemented as of July 1st. And Consumers Union has said out there that we'll watch very carefully with this recent recall to see if they will indeed do that starting July 1st, is tell consumers not only the general brand names, but which stores
right.
and which facilities. Because it isn't just restaurants and stores. That stuff could go to nursing homes. It could go to schools,
mm-hmm.
to all sorts of other places, and all that should be made public.
Yeah. And the law that you talked about was written by Jackie Speier. My listeners raised some money to fly Dave Louthan down from Moses Lake to testify in Sacramento when that bill was under consideration. And as you pointed out, the federal farm bill, now working its way through the Congress, could eviscerate that with a preemption clause that, what, is 10 words long?
Yeah, well, what it says is the language says that no state can take any action or cannot prohibit the commercial sale or use of any item that the Secretary of Agriculture has, one, inspected and passed, or two, determined to be of non-regulated status.
Mm-hmm.
The first clause basically covers all the food safety programs, because once something, a piece of meat, is stamped and comes out of a plant as being okay for human consumption, well, when it travels to the store, if it's not in a refrigerated truck and spoils and goes bad or has other things, it's the local people that pull that off. So they wouldn't be able to do that. The second clause about the non-regulated status, that absolutely refers to all genetically engineered foods, because the last thing that a plant does before you can sell it is the company has to apply a petition for non-regulated status.
Mm-hmm.
So that cuts out the GMOs, but that's also a vague enough language that AFTO has pointed out that language could also refer to other types of meat, bison, deer, certain forms of poultry, and
mm-hmm.
rabbits are done at the state levels, and all their safety testing might disappear as well.
All right, let's take a call. Dave in Eureka, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Michael Hansen.
Hey, Peter and Dr. Michael. My observation is that this administration, in every way that they can, seeks to benefit the big corporate special interests, and they care not how much harm they do to the working classes and poor. That's my observation. I don't know if you share that or if you think they're just bungling.
No, I think that they do exactly what the large companies want, and they try to do it like this with this farm bill, sneak it in the dead of night, as it were, because if there's any kind of light shown on this, then all this opposition pops up. I mean, there were some of the people in our groups, as soon as we realized that, we sent out the word and also talked to some of the people in the AFTO, the Association of Food and Drug Officials, to let them know about this. And so the fight that's going on, it isn't just going to be all these consumer, environmental, and other groups, but again, we now have a letter that has been posted and has been sent by the Association of Food and Drug Officials.
Thank you for that question, Dave. Appreciate your comment. And Michael Hansen, thank you for your work. Let us know there's next time there's something we should be worried about, okay?
I will.
Very good. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you.
Coming up next, the other Hansen. Yeah, the guy who got bounced out of the FBI and now is behind bars for espionage. Larissa's got the story. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The fans heard round the world. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. In a world desperate for something besides Iraq and Paris Hilton, the D.C. judge suing over his lost pants comes just in time. Judge Roy Pearson, appearing before another judge to plead his case, finally got his chance to explain why he's suing the Korean dry cleaner in his neighborhood for $54 million. And he explained it before a courtroom packed with reporters from all over the world, as well as members of the Korean Dry Cleaners Association. He told the court that he had brought the pants in to be altered because he put on 20 pounds. And there were two signs clearly visible at the dry cleaners, one of which said, same day service. But the pants were not ready the same day. And when they finally were ready, the pants he got were gray with cuffs. Standing in court in tears, Pearson said it was like being in the Twilight Zone because his pants were blue without cuffs. And in all his adult life, with one exception, he had never worn pants with cuffs. And yet the lady at the counter kept insisting, these are your pants. And now we see the importance of this case. We've all wondered what would happen if one day the dry cleaner got the little tags mixed up. Never mind getting the right pants. Do you even still have an identity? Or have you fallen through a space-time wormhole? And then you realize, to your growing horror, that the reason the sign says same-day service is that in this weird, relativistic dry cleaning continuum, every day is the same day. But the most frightening thing of all is that this man is a judge. Now this.
There's a little boutique I love to shop because they know what I'm all about. My style, my colors, what I really like. Being a Sherwin-Williams preferred customer is the same way. My Sherwin-Williams store keeps all my colors on file. They invite me to special sales, send me decorating tips. They even gave me 20% off my first purchase. Being a Sherwin-Williams preferred customer makes shopping for paint almost as much fun as shopping for clothes. Almost.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
The story is true. Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Hanson? Don't you, Hanson, huh?
Must be what keeps your hair up.
Larissa's been hanging out with spooks again. And it's quite a story. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com, where she's managing editor of investigations or something lofty like that. She joins us again today. Hello, Larissa.
Hello.
Before we get into the Hanson story...
Yeah.
Can I just offer you some kudos and recognition?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Because last week in American media coverage of the work of Dick Marty, a Swiss investigator,
right.
Your reporting was corroborated about the secret airstrip and U.S. detention facility, or at least it was a borrowed facility used to detain alleged terror suspects in Poland.
Right.
That was confirmed without any credit given to Raw Story or you, Larissa.
Right, right. That's true. But, hey, at least it's confirmed. Well, not that it was, you know, I mean, when we ran the story, the entire Polish leadership went on, you know, national Polish television and pretty much smeared me from one end to the other.
Right.
You know, I think they took it fairly seriously then, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to be vindicated or, you know, at least have others now buzzing about this topic.
Yeah. Well, we remember here.
Well, thank you.
And we remember where we hear things first.
Well, that's good to know.
Now, I don't know if you're prepared to comment on this, but I'll just ask you the question, and you can deflect it if you don't want to answer. But did you actually visit that airstrip and that,
I can't comment.
That place in Poland?
Can't comment.
Were you in Poland?
Can't comment.
She's tough, I'll tell you. I can't get anywhere. All right. Well, then I'll give up on that. And let's turn to the story that is at Raw Story today about Eric O'Neill, a former FBI investigator,
right.
Who is portrayed in the film Breach, which I haven't seen yet, but I certainly saw the trailer, and one of these days I'm going to rent it.
You should. Well, you should. It's very, very good. In fact, I, being the intel geek that I am, I went to see it alone in the theater when it first came out.
Uh-huh.
And was very impressed, you know. So this is a fun interview for me.
Yeah. And let's just recap for people who Robert Hanson was and how weird he was, and even a member of Opus Dei, the far-right Christian Catholic cult.
Right. I'm starting to wonder if there's a connection to intelligence there. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't doubt that when you consider some of the murky things that have come out of the Vatican and their involvement, in the BNL scandal a few years back, the Banco Nacional de Lavoro.
Yeah, right, and the death of the what's his name? Oh, my God, Calvi.
Yeah.
God's banker and all that whole scandal. Yeah, oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
And the rat line. I mean, we could go on and on.
And Pope John Paul I, the Pope for 32 days, I think it was, before he expired.
Right.
A lot of questions come out of the Vatican and some of those Catholic groups. All right, so this guy Hanson, a longtime FBI analyst and operator, and at some point the upper echelons of the FBI became suspicious of his activities. And they brought in Eric O'Neill, who at the time was only 27 years old,
right.
And essentially made him Hanson's junior partner.
Well, no, more like his administrative assistant. They were kind of locked in a room together, you know, all day long, every day for 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think what's fascinating is that Hanson, he was a high-level FBI special agent. He was in charge of the Soviet analytical side and, you know, a computer expert. And he had been spying on and off for, you know, I don't know, about between 15 and 20 years. And the FBI was only on to him starting in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they weren't, you know, onto him for that long before they caught him finally. And O'Neill came in at the end, but it was really his work that kind of got them the smoking gun they needed.
Mm-hmm. And do we know the extent of the damage caused by Hansen's espionage and the documents and other information he gave to the Soviets/Russians? Or has our government mostly kept that under wraps so as not to disturb the populace?
Well, I don't know if it's so much not to disturb the populace. My understanding, and not from just O'Neill, but talking to other people, I mean, to preserve what's left of our national security. So with good reason. I mean, a lot of what Hansen gave up to the Russians were CIA officers serving abroad, their names, agents we had turned, like high-level KGB officials. He gave them our continuity of government, you know, in the event of a nuclear war, where the president's going to be, where Congress is going to be, all of that. All of our nuclear sites, he gave them the entire, you know, FBI case management system. I mean, he gave them everything.
Wow.
And, not for a lot of money. If you look at what he got in compensation, it's not a lot of money.
You cite $1.4 million in cash and diamonds.
That's over a 15, 20-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And when you consider what he gave them, which is, you know, the crown jewels, essentially, that's not that much money. So it's truly, he's, you know, and I've read the investigations done by the DOJ on him. I've pretty much read everything. I've talked to CIA people who for a long time thought that the mole, because people knew there was a mole. People were disappearing. And it was believed that the mole was in the CIA. And I've talked to everybody who I could have, and O'Neill on the record. And my understanding is it'll take a long time for them to understand the damage, but what they know thus far is really frightening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he pretty much decapitated our national security.
Mm-hmm. And
for some reason, he happened to have been a Robert Novak source. Did you see how?
No, tell me about that.
Yeah, he was Robert Novak's source. There was this whole thing back during Reno, and this is the only article we know he was a source for. During Clinton's presidency when Reno was Attorney General, and remember that whole, the Chinese are contributing to the coffers of the Democrats and all
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah,
remember?
Johnny Chun or Chung?
Right. That all came from Hansen to Novak, and after Hansen's arrest, Novak came clean. But I find it remarkable that wherever there is a, sort of a traitor, the journalist, you know, writing his things happens to be Robert Novak, who is also a member of Opus Dei.
Well, maybe they met in the line at confession.
It's possible. I don't know, but I something's very wrong when you've got such a close-knit group of people. Robert Novak just keeps appearing when there's a national security breach. I don't know.
Now, we don't know. You cite in the article something I remember from the coverage at the time, that Hansen made home porn with his wife, who didn't know that she was being videotaped in her intimate moments with him. Do we know if he shared any of that with Bob Novak?
Well, no, I don't know about that, but he certainly shared it with some of his friends, and he had little parties in his den where his friends would. In fact, there's one allegation, and, you know, I didn't really get into the sex side of it too much when talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
And his poor wife, I mean, she's this devout Catholic, but there's an allegation that when they raided his home, when the FBI raided his home, they found, one of those double mirror kind of situations where there's a room.
Oh, a secret room? Uh-huh.
Installed on the other side, and one of the allegations is he'd actually let one of his friends hang out there while he was having sex with his wife.
Oh.
So, he completely just... it's not just that. I mean, let's just say he entertained himself in the office.
Well, we're allowed to say masturbate on the radio.
I didn't know. So, yeah, to
He was
Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, he had a thing for Catherine Zeta-Jones, but just pictures, right? He never, we don't know.
I don't know. I just did not want to know. But he did it, he was overt about it, I guess. And from my conversation with Eric O'Neill, it seems like he did a lot of what he did in the office, a lot of physical, encroaching on your physical space or getting too close to you or hovering or making comments. He did, with a sexual overtone, not so much for the sexual aspect, but for the control that he could kind of jumble your nerves, you know, kind of throw you off.
Right.
And it was a control thing for him. And so he apparently was very overt about his interest in the, the actress, Catherine Zeta-Jones. So here you have this very devout, overtly very devout member of, you know, the Catholic faith who is also a member of Opus Dei, who is this, you know, career FBI servant and, you know, supposedly this honorable man and everything of that nature. And it turns out he's a man who's making pornographic films of his wife without her knowledge and playing them for his friends, posting really descriptive sexual stories about him and his wife using her real name online.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of other stuff that I just didn't want to go there when I was talking to. I just didn't want to know. In the film, however, they do kind of get into that. They show Ryan Phillippe plays Eric O'Neill, and they show him intercepting a package with the dirty tape in it. But my understanding is that Hansen never actually sent out the tapes. He had them and would invite people over.
I see. And, you know, the image of the FBI is that it's squeaky clean, straight up potato, mostly white, mostly guys, and that this kind of behavior would probably stand out and would cause them to wonder or at least notice that he would then be vulnerable, because these kinds of activities leave somebody in his status with security clearances vulnerable to blackmail and other forms of intimidation.
Well, if you read the IG, the Inspector General's, the DOJ Inspector General's report, there were a lot of red flags. They should have caught this guy ages ago for any number of things, for, using the work environment for deviant behavior, or, you know, deviant as in, not appropriate to work. He was also incredibly abusive to his female staff. And should have been fired straight out for one altercation he had where he literally physically assaulted a female employee, you know, who was actually under him, reporting to him. And, nothing literally happened. There were, you know, he discussed confidential information. I think they documented it several times with unauthorized personnel, and yet nothing happened. And there were other, you know, activities that should have been red flagged. You know, he hacked into various other government agency computers, and the FBI was made aware of it. And yet they kept promoting him or moving him around.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Larissa Alexandrovna. She's talking about the case of a convicted espionage artist and former FBI agent, Robert Hansen. And Larissa scored an exclusive interview with Eric O'Neill, who was assigned to cover him for the FBI and ultimately provided some of the key information that busted him. We'll talk more about her interview with Eric O'Neill coming up next. If you got a question or comment, we want to hear it. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the rights to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyet. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Hi, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. We're going to talk about, we've got a problem in Salinas. It's northbound 101 Airport Road, Boulevard, that is. Excuse me. It is a disabled vehicle. The off-ramp remains blocked. Traffic still backed up onto the freeway. So that's really creating a big situation there. Del Monte Forest, Sloat Road at Lodge Road. We have a fender bender. That is on the right shoulder. And apparently they're getting a little activity working there as well. Also want to take a look at another problem. It's in Watsonville, 152 westbound between Beach Street and East Lake. We have road maintenance in the two left lanes just clearing up a little bit late today, and so that's going to last until another day, then it'll be wrapped up. Highway 17 looking pretty good at this point. In fact, no major stalls or accidents to report there. And we're going to let you know this report is brought to you by Taco Bell.
Continue our debriefing of Larissa Alexandrovna, managing investigative editor at rawstory.com. Great story that's just out today about the discredited and now jailed former FBI agent Robert Hansen. He spied for the Soviets and the Russians, and he got caught back in 2000. And Larissa, what's his jail term? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, he has life, obviously, and he's in solitary confinement.
Okay.
He avoided the death sentence, which I usually am against the death penalty, but in this case I think it was well-deserved, by cooperating and providing the investigators with information. And he actually was caught in 2001 in February.
Okay.
So 2 months after, I believe 2 months after O'Neill became his, the cover O'Neill used was as his assistant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So about 2 months, and it was really critical. But there was a 500 team of investigators on this case for that period. That just is remarkable when you consider how many agencies and departments this reached into.
Yeah.
Well, so it was fun for me to pick his brain, Eric O'Neill's brain, for a bit about how it was to be, you know, so close to this particular human being.
Now, one of the things you asked him about was the Promise software. Explain to our listeners why that is significant.
Oh, God, it's such a long story. There's this allegation. No, I mean, it's more than an allegation. The Promise software is allegedly the software that was stolen by our government from a contractor. And then derivatives were then sold overseas with back doors. There's a bevy of allegations that are both, you know, sort of conspiratorial and also seem rather legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And that.
And fundamentally, this is case management software, so that if it had a back door, then somebody could hack in and read a report, for example, on an investigation of me.
Right. Well, I mean, the derivatives were more than just case management. They became, you know, cross-agency databases and other such things. So you could literally access the entire U.S. government computer system. And so, for example, one of the really famous things tied to the Promise software is the Danny why can't I remember his last name? Cassarello, I believe, was the reporter. His death.
Oh, yeah. He died in a motel, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
He called it the octopus.
Yeah.
Right. There are allegations that have been made, and no one will confirm this for me, and obviously for good reason, was that Hansen had sold or provided the Russians with a Promise derivative type of software, and the Russians then sold it on the black market to various groups, including Al-Qaeda. So if you wanted to, you know, attack the United States, and you had supposedly the software that has the ability to override all these various systems and go to any government agency database and whatnot, then this would be a good way to do it. Obviously, I don't know enough about, you know, what's real and what's myth about the Promise software. It's developed a whole myth around it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did ask him, and, you know, as he says, Hansen did provide the Russians with the source code for the case management system. But he did not know if the Promise software was part of that drop. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the interesting things that Eric O'Neill tells you is that he believes that Hansen was trying to recruit him to also spy for the Russians.
Right, right. And he also, well, I mean, that not just the Russians, but into Opus Dei as well. And James Bamford has said that that Hansen had tried to recruit him as well. So, but one of the documents of that's been made public in the Hansen case is where he suggests a friend of his and some other people to the Russians as possible good double agents that they should try to recruit. So he was actively trying to recruit on their behalf,
mm-hmm.
but also into Opus Dei.
Well, and that does raise suspicions.
I have to ask, you know. I mean, it makes it's so bizarre. It's like a cult.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean any disrespect. I mean, Eric O'Neill himself was Catholic, which is one of the reasons they picked him.
Well, this gives me grist. I'm having dinner in Washington next week with Jim Bamford, and so I'll be sure to ask him about this.
Ask him about this. It's fascinating. And I would suggest you get the film or watch the film, rent it. It's wonderful. And having talked to Eric, I can say that Ryan Phillippe absolutely captured him.
Yeah.
It was kind of eerie, almost. Even the, you know, their speech is so similar. How they say things, the slight variations in you know, dialect. I mean, it was he truly captured him. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you asked O'Neill great questions that he didn't have answers for, like about Sabelle Edmonds, a case that we followed very closely here on
this
program, and also about Valerie Plame Wilson.
Right.
Did you sense that he's just kind of checked out?
No. I mean, he's incredibly astute, and he is always paying attention, and he obviously works as an attorney now in this type of environment anyway. My sense is that he was being cautious. And certainly he said more off the record about some of these things. But in general, I think, you know, he is just being cautious. I don't think he's checked out, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you mean by checked out as in stopped paying attention.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
That's what I meant. Mm-hmm.
No, he's definitely paying attention.
And there isn't time now to talk about it, but there is a powerful scene that he describes here that was very cloak and daggerish, where he got a hold of Hansen's Palm Pilot or whatever it was.
Right.
Dashed out, got it copied, and then ran back and couldn't remember which jacket pocket he had pulled it out of.
Well, first he couldn't even, he was told that Hansen was on his way back up to the office, and he only had, I think, 6 minutes. He timed it, he said.
Yeah.
To get back to the office, and they were still copying the damn thing. So he said, fine, you guys have, like, I think 2-3 minutes. I can probably take the stairs, make it up in 3 minutes. And he literally got into Hansen's office as Hansen was punching the key code into the door.
It's a great story. Read all about it at rawstory.com. Right. Thank you, Larissa.
Sure.
Coming up next, we're going to check in with some dreamers who are on their way to Washington and open up the phones in the free speech zone.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The violence in Iraq has gotten worse since the U.S. troop surge started. That's according to the Pentagon in its latest report to Congress. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the overall level of violence is unchanged, but there have been more spectacular attacks.
Attacks using enhanced explosive devices smuggled in from Iran, attacks which are killing American soldiers, hit an all-time high in April. It may be too soon to know if the surge is working, but it is changing the nature of the fighting, if not the outcome.
It was the bombing of the Golden Dome, a Shiite mosque in Samarra, that touched off a wave of sectarian violence last year. Today, another attack took down the minarets. Sunnis linked to al-Qaeda are suspected. There have already been several retaliatory strikes at Sunni mosques. A diet pill that suppresses appetite was rejected today by an FDA advisory panel concerned about how it affects the mind. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
Panel members heard a scathing review of the drug from FDA investigators who raised serious concerns about an array of potential side effects, including seizures and suicide. In the end, every single one of them, including Dr. Paul Wolf, voted against approval of this new type of diet drug.
I'm concerned about what we don't know and the dangers that we can fall into.
Rimonabant is being sold in 18 countries. Its maker will track patients there, hoping to compile more reassuring safety data before trying again to put it on the market here.
A federal report on the Virginia Tech shootings out today says the tragedy might have been prevented if there was more information sharing between police, doctors, and the school. On Capitol Hill, CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports the House moved to close the loopholes that allowed Sung-Hui Cho to buy guns, even though he'd been treated for mental problems.
At a time when Congress is fighting over everything else, today they agreed on one of the most controversial topics known to politics, gun control, and they did it with help from a curious alliance of Democrats and the National Rifle Association. The bill passed by the House today requires states to send information on criminals and those judged mentally ill to the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System so they can't buy guns. Fewer than half the states are doing that now.
Knowing that moms usually make the decisions about family meals, McDonald's is mounting a novel campaign to persuade women its menu can be healthy. It's inviting six of them into its kitchens, its farms, and processing plants. One of them is Joanne Canizares of Miami.
My kids love McDonald's, and, you know, all moms wonder about that. And I'm hoping to be able to see that their foods are nutritious and that I can make choices at McDonald's that my kids will enjoy and get the nutrition from it at the same time.
Canizares and the other McMoms will keep an online journal posted on McDonald's website.
On Wall Street, a turnaround. The Dow Industrials up 187 points to 13,482. The Nasdaq gained 32 points. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store and register for a chance to win $100 in free gas. You can also increase your fuel economy by replacing dirty air filters and changing your oil regularly. Visit Napa today and register to win your free $100 fuel card. One card will be awarded at each participating store. See store for official sweepstakes rules and complete details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Napa fuel card managed by eCount, a Citi company. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Dad's a hard-working dynamo. It's Father's Day.
Let him know.
Dad, let your work and worries go.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Father's Day. Go out back, where fresh salmon is grilled moist and tender, and the steaks are thick and juicy. No worries. We're open early for Father's Day.
Let's go out back tonight.
This Father's Day, we're open at 11.
What a way to make your Father's Day.
He might be an imposter, but he's not a rapist. Tony Hansen of station KYW has the story.
A Philadelphia jury has found a man not guilty of raping seven women. Jeffrey Marsalis, who posed as a doctor, CIA agent, and astronaut, met six of the seven women through an online dating service. Defense attorney Kathleen Martin.
The jury verdict showed that they rejected the Commonwealth's theory in total, that Jeffrey Marsalis never drugged or raped any of these women.
Marsalis has been convicted of two lesser sexual assault charges, and he'll remain in custody pending sentencing in September. Tony Hansen, CBS News, Philadelphia.
Across the Delaware River in New Jersey, authorities are searching for a suspect in a double murder. 19-year-old Dante Brannon had been held since March, but on Monday, when he was brought to court on an unrelated burglary charge, a relative posted $200 bail. Brannon was released because no one checked the records to see if he had other cases pending. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This is Rocky Moselle. This Father's Day, give your dad the most unique gift he'll ever receive. Name a star after him. The International Star Registry will name a star after your father for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. The beautiful gift package will be personalized and the star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
There's a little boutique I love to shop because they know what I'm all about. My style, my colors, what I really like. Being a Sherwin-Williams preferred customer is the same way. My Sherwin-Williams store keeps all my colors on file. They invite me to special sales, send me decorating tips. They even gave me 20% off my first purchase. Being a Sherwin-Williams preferred customer makes shopping for paint almost as much fun as shopping for clothes. Almost.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone at this moment. Lines are open for your calls and comments, any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You got that? 888-573-8372. A couple of hours ago, a train left Los Angeles heading eastward. The destination is Washington, D.C., and this is a pro-immigration reform group that has launched a cross-country train tour, and they're calling themselves 100 American Dreamers. And they're on their way to Washington, D.C. to talk to the individuals there in the Congress and the Senate who are working on the immigration legislation. Joining us first is Mary Gutierrez, one of the organizers of this train. Mary, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's nice to get different voices into the immigration discussion because in the corporate media, they mainly feature shrill, hateful voices who are echoing Tom Tancredo, and their goal is to call everything amnesty, whether it has any, you know, rational connection to the legislation or not. And I'm very frustrated by the noise that is not really leading to any understanding or rational progress on the issues. What is the purpose of this train caravan that you embarked on today?
You know, Peter, when people talk about immigration reform, we always talk about it in terms of legislative terms, right?
Yeah.
So it's really hard for the, you know, average person to really understand all these technical political terms. So what we're trying to get out there is trying to get out people's stories, those of Americans and those of immigrants, to really show that whether we are immigrant or American in this country, we really all have the same hopes and dreams. But because of our broken immigration system, you know, for many Americans and immigrants in this country, it's really hard to achieve those dreams.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have a woman that's going to be on shortly who, you know, she's an American business owner. And her dream is to have her own business, but unfortunately she relies a lot on immigrant labor. And it's hard for her to find, you know, legal documented workers in this country because of our broken immigration system.
Mm-hmm.
So here's someone who we don't typically look at as being impacted by a lack of immigration reform, but she is, and that's her story.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel that by sharing these stories across the country of not only immigrants, but of Americans in this country, that people will begin to say, oh, you know what? That immigrant is just like me. They have the same hopes and the same dreams for their kids. They want them to be educated. You know, they want to buy a home. You know, they're just like me. The only difference is that they weren't born in this country.
Well,
so, you know,
and if I could just put in a word here on behalf of the Anglos in the picture, my ancestors came from Ireland about 100 years ago.
Right.
But I don't feel that I have any special preference over people who may have emigrated to this country even as recently as last year.
Right, right. But unfortunately, you know, that's the stereotype, right? You know, people look at them, and you know, the thing we always kind of look at them is we kind of look at them as immigrants and then Mexicans, right?
Yeah.
But we forget to... You know, if we forget that immigrants aren't just Mexican and they're Polish, there's, you know, we have a lot of British people. We had someone at our event yesterday who was from England, and she was deported.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because she's blonde-haired and blue-eyed, we never look at her as an immigrant. And, you know, we forget that people that look like that, too, are having issues in this country. So how do we address those issues?
Right. And the term illegal is often used in a shaded code word manner. To say Mexican or Central American or Latin American when we know, in fact, that there are many illegal immigrants in this country who are white Europeans or even Asians who came in through airports. They didn't come in over a border or by crossing a river or surviving the desert with some coyotes. And those groups of illegal immigrants are never referenced when white male leaders in Washington are really whipping up the hate in this debate.
Right, right. And what we really want to focus on is really on people's stories and really to focus that, you know, American or immigrant, we really all just have, we're the same people. And I think we really need to stop looking at immigrants as them.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of the problem is that we don't know them, just like nowadays we don't know our neighbor. Right? We don't know our neighbors, so we refer to them as them. So whenever there's a problem, it's them and not the actual person because we don't know them. We hope that by sharing our stories across the country that people will begin to know one another, begin to know that immigrant next door, and really look at their situation a lot differently.
Now, Mary Gutierrez, what is your next stop on the train ride to Washington?
Our next stop is Tucson, actually, where we're going to be picking up an Iraqi immigrant, also an immigrant who served in Iraq in the Army,
mm-hmm.
and two little girls whose mothers are undocumented in this country. They both are U.S. citizens, and they're at risk of being separated from their mother.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And is there a website where people can follow your progress?
Yes, definitely. We encourage everyone to go on www.dreamsacrossamericaonline.org. There they can go and share their story. Like I said, you don't have to be an immigrant to do so. And you can also view the stories of hundreds of others that have shared their stories online and follow us on the train.
Great. Again, that web address is dreamsacrossamericaonline.org, dreamsacrossamericaonline.org. Mary, thanks for talking with us. If you don't mind, let's pass the phone over to Kathy Gurney, and we'll hear a little bit of her story.
Okay, perfect.
That's Mary Gutierrez. And now,
can I call you back?
Kathy Gurney joins
all
us.
Right.
She's
okay.
Ending another
all
call.
Right. I will. Thanks. Bye.
You're on live radio. That's how things happen.
Hello?
Hello, Kathy Gurney. This is Peter B. Collins. How do you do?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Thanks for ending your other call in order to talk with us.
That's okay.
We heard the byplay there. tell us about your business, how long you've been doing it, and how immigrants play a role in the success of your business.
Well, I have been, I'm a commercial landscaper, and my husband and I have been in this business for 27 years. And our employees are about 85 to 90% Hispanic. So it greatly affects my business because without a legal workforce, I can't have a business.
Mm-hmm. And so is your desire to see legislation that allows the undocumented population, currently estimated at about 12 million in this country, to regularize their presence in order to get driver's licenses, buy insurance, pay taxes, and participate as fully as we will permit them?
Yes, absolutely.
And how would that change things for you, Kathy?
Well, for me, number one, driver's licenses is a big issue for me. I mean, there have been times in the last couple years that I hire college kids to drive my employees around because my employees don't have driver's licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And the college kids don't want to do the work, but they'll do the driving. So I think what one of the ways that this will benefit my company and help it so that I can grow is it will give me legal drivers so that my insurance company, you know, can insure them.
Mm-hmm.
It will make it so that I can plan on growing my company so that because I'll have a legal workforce. And it will help me achieve my American dream that I can continue building this legacy with my husband,
mm-hmm.
hand it down to my two sons who are working in the business, and hopefully one day retire and spend the time with my grandchildren.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your devoting the time to send this message. If there's one person in Washington you'd like to deliver a message to, who would it be, Kathy?
I would have to say to the Senate, to the whole Senate at this point,
mm-hmm.
That they can't just, because they can't come to a bipartisan agreement on the immigration bill, I think it would be to tell them that they have been elected by the people of this country, and we elected them because we had faith in them that they would do what is right.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what is doing right is giving us good laws to follow and fixing broken laws.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't just set it aside and say, well, we just can't do it this year.
Yeah.
It's not an option.
Okay. Well, thank you for lending your voice to this campaign and for taking the train trip to Washington. And if you don't mind, can you pass the phone to Virginia Franklin?
I can. Just a moment.
Okay. That's Kathy Gurney. And I appreciate
Virginia
talking
Franklin.
With her today. And Virginia Franklin is going to join us next.
Hello.
Hello, Virginia. This is Peter B. Collins. Thanks for talking with me.
Okay. How are you doing today?
Good. Tell me why you're on the train to Washington. What's your dream?
Well, my dream is like what my mother asked me. My mother was a professor. She came to Los Angeles from Kansas City, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
and became an RN. Then she became a professor of nursing at Southwest College. And she passed away in 1995. So her big issue was education.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called the Dream Act, and I went there in 2003. What it is students they can go to school, graduate with A's and all that kind of stuff, and then not be able to receive financial aid just because of their being an immigrant.
Right.
And I don't think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take this to Washington and let them know that everyone has a right to education.
And, Virginia, if you can deliver a message to a single person or group, who do you most want to talk to in Washington?
Well, just the senators, whoever is agreeing with it, whoever's not voting the way that we want them to go.
Uh-huh.
That's who I want to address, whoever senators or whatever are not in support of the Dream Act.
Mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm tight for time here, but I want to thank you for your advocacy. Thanks for taking the time to go to Washington and speak to our elected leaders and give them help for me, will you?
I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
That's Virginia Franklin. They're on a train that's on its way into Tucson, Arizona, heading east to Washington, D.C. And you can follow their progress at the website dreamsacrossamericaonline.org. That's dreamsacrossamericaonline.org. Tell me what you think of this. And what is your position on the immigration debate? Any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are open for you right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic. Now we're going to start off with a problem. Let's see, we are looking at a crash in Castroville on 156 at Castroville Boulevard. It is a trailer hitch in the lanes there, and it's actually an object on the roadway. So, Del Monte Forest, Sloat Road at Forest Lodge Road, we have a two-car fender bender being reported there. Little activity on Live Oak, Bromer Street at 17th Street, we have a two-car crash. And the CHP is present and working on that situation. Quick reminder that in Santa Cruz, Highway 1, both directions between Bay Street and Locust, right lane closed for utility work from 7:30 to 4 p.m., and that'll be till Friday, June 15th. and no problems to report on Highway 17 northbound or southbound. This report is brought to you by Shell Fuels. Low-quality gasolines can allow gunk to form inside your engine. Shell gasoline, stop the gunky buildup. Shell made a move.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. I've got lines open for you right now. Let me know what's on your mind. You know, there's a battle to secure our borders, a political, rhetorical battle here in the United States. It's overheated, superheated, and overhyped. And one of the moves that was made to try to respond to the political firestorm was that President Bush dispatched National Guards teams, or troops from different states, to the area along the U.S.-Mexico border, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Dateline Houston, three members of the Texas National Guard helping patrol the Mexican border have been charged with human smuggling. Federal agents found one of them in uniform driving a van crammed with 24 illegal immigrants north of Laredo. And this is a situation where we have put guardsmen near the border for photo opportunities. They're not allowed to actually patrol the border. They're building fences, they're repairing vehicles, they're basically bivouac there with no real enforcement duties. And we got time on your hands, an opportunity knocks. Hey, what's going to matter if we help 24 illegals get in the country and they give us $1,500 each? That's a win-win scenario, isn't it? One of the troopers, the guardsman, picked up was a decorated wounded veteran of Iraq. I think it's really sad. 888-5-PETER-B, let me know what you think. We go to Arcata right now, and Aaron is on the line. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Aaron, did you survive? Nope, Aaron gave up. Sorry about that. So 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join this conversation, I'd like to hear from you. And you can talk about immigration. You can talk about spies, as we discussed with Larissa last hour. We also had a great conversation about the victory in the courts this week for those of us who believe that indefinite, uncharged detention of legal U.S. residents is just a little bit unconstitutional. We had a great chat with Jonathan Hafitz of New York University's Brennan Center for Law about that earlier in the program. And we also talked about food safety issues with Michael Hansen from Consumers Union. So any of those topics or anything else that you want to bring forward, up for grabs here on the Peter B. Collins Show today. Now to Steve in Watsonville. Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Peter. No, you just mentioned in the guardsmen, when I read the names, it looked to me like there was two hermanos and a brother.
Their names are Torres, Pacheco, and Hodge.
I'm figuring Hodge is very possibly African-American.
Don't know that.
Don't know for a fact, but it raises the same issue as I see with the William Jefferson prosecution.
Why is that?
That the Bush administration seems like, you remember all the firing of the prosecutors?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they really like to get cases against people of color. You know, them Fort Dix guys, the guys in Liberty City, every single one of these cases that they come up with, that they try to, you know, profile, it's always people of color.
Well, that's interesting.
Is this a coincidence?
But Steve, in this case, I don't think color has anything to do with it. We had guardsmen who have diddly to do on this deployment at the border. It's just for effect and for PR consumption. And these idle minds were given an opportunity to make some cash. I mean, what are these guys making, $1,500 a month?
And you seriously think that they and their compatriots, that, you know, some that didn't go to Iraq, aren't doing essentially the same damn thing, and that's how come they happen to have, you know, find out that there was a way to make a little, you know, side money?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I don't know what motivated these individuals to do
now,
it.
If
But I don't consider them victims here. I don't think that these three National Guardsmen, based on the evidence, which is pretty strong in the allegations, and they have admitted that they were texting each other and that the three of them were in cahoots. And so I do not want to single out these individuals. What I'm talking about is the failed policy and the way Bush has used photo opportunities and dramatic gestures to try to wage war against the real extremists in his own party and try to assuage them into supporting his version of immigration reform. I don't completely support it, but I have to say I would side with Bush over the Neanderthals like Tom Tancredo.
You mean on the matter of the 12 million that are presently on the north side?
Yes, and I support giving them documents and putting them on a path to citizenship. And if somebody else wants to call that amnesty, you go right ahead. But you're stupid if you do so, because you know you are simply trying to use rhetoric to cover up an issue that we've got to deal with. Thanks for your call, Steve. I got to run to a break here. More calls coming up next. You can grab a line. Tell me what you think at 888-5-PETER-B. From San Francisco, I'm Peter B. Collins. Brian Urban is taking your calls today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
And the free speech zone rolls on. There are a couple of lines available if you want to join the conversation. Toll free, 888-573-8372. Translates to 1-888-5-PETER-B. And Brian Urban just found this story online. Rush Limbaugh has a very interesting dilemma facing him. In Miami, WIOD Radio, which is owned by Clear Channel and which is the local affiliate of the Rush Limbaugh program, has been notified by county commissioners that the county is planning to drop its contract to make WIOD, or to continue to use WIOD as the official hurricane radio station in South Florida. This is an interesting political play because the commissioners on the county commission are all Democrats. And they decided to send a message to El Rushbo by hitting his affiliate. And I don't know exactly what the terms are, if there is a cash payment or if it's simply for the bragging rights that when there's a hurricane, everybody knows to tune to the official station. I'm not sure how valuable that is in actual conversion to cash, but it's a very interesting message and not well received by Rush. He feels he's being censored. And when you consider how powerful the right wing is, and in how many communities people like Limbaugh and Hannity are embraced by local politicians who, you know, flip favors in their direction, like, you know, favoring a local radio station that carries Limbaugh, say, as compared to Air America, well, then that's political hardball. That's putting their money where their mouths are. You want to comment on that? I'd love to hear your thoughts at 888-5-PETER-B. One other item before we go back to your calls. You may know that according to Greg Palast and other investigators, that one of the ways the elections of 2000 and 2004 were stolen by the Republicans was to manipulate the vote by troops stationed overseas. New York Times has a story today that starts on the front page. And it shows that the Pentagon-managed international voting system, which is not supposed to be just for uniformed troops, but for all citizens living overseas, they spent $30 million on it. And in 2006, 63 members of the service cast their votes online using this allegedly secure voting system managed by the Pentagon. And this is just stunning. I don't even want to calculate the cost per vote. 63 votes, $30 million. Somebody do the math for me, all right, and fill me in. I'm afraid to guess what it is. Millie in Aptos is back. Hello, Millie. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Peter. Generally, I'm very progressive. I do feel there are some very bad injustices, which I can see right in my own area of Aptos, Rio del Mar.
Mm-hmm.
And here's an example. I live in this area where there has been much new construction going on for a long time. It's a sought-after area. With this, from personal construction workers, I do perceive undercutting of wages big time.
Mm-hmm.
By developers against long-time legal workers.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are family men, journeymen trained, who've been in the business long enough to be excellent workers. And what has been the prevailing wage on the coast of California, which has been, at this point, it has been around $30-$35 an hour, these guys are being forced to take $15 or just be out of work.
Mm-hmm.
Because the developers are hiring so many workers who are, I'm not going to call them illegal, but undocumented.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, Millie, you put your finger on an important problem. And my take on it is this, that the United States has every right to secure its borders, and we have not. And I believe that it's not an accident, just like many people don't believe the response to Katrina was totally accidental or just a bunch of whoops connected. What we have here is a conscious effort to undermine working Americans by permitting large numbers of foreign workers to enter the country. And that is something that we could have stopped back in the Reagan or first Bush administration. And to be fair, Bill Clinton could have done more about it. He did respond to Senator Feinstein in the 90s and doubled the number of Border Patrol agents. My belief is that we have every right to secure our border, and we have a right to protect our American citizens in the workplace. And what we have are predatory employers who know that they're not going to get sanctioned by the federal government, or their chance of being caught and penalized is very low, and they reduce that to a cost of doing business. And they say, well, you know, here's the potential downside of hiring these people. It might cost us X in legal fees and maybe even some fines from ICE, the Immigration Department of Homeland Security, as it's known now. And they can factor exactly what that amount of money is, and then they can calculate how much they're saving by hiring undocumenteds and paying them half of the prevailing wage. And so this is an issue that organized labor and workers who aren't members of unions have a strong interest in. And rather than blame the workers, who are simply responding to market forces in their countries where there isn't enough work and they've got families to feed, and opportunities in this country, even if they come from predatory employers. And so my point here is not to demonize these individuals who have come to this country to work and to seek a better life, but to come up with an understandable and enforceable scheme of how we identify people, what rights we give them, and what responsibilities we require of them. And fundamentally, Millie, we've got over a million, perhaps as many as 3 million people on the roads of California today who do not have licenses and do not have insurance because they can't get it. And we need to confront that and say, yes, these people are here, and we want them to participate in our society, operate by the rules, work in a way that doesn't displace or disadvantage Americans. And we're not doing that. And the legislation in Washington, even the best aspects of it, will not do that either. And so I think this is a very empty process. And at the end of it all, we're not going to have changed things very much. We will simply have promoted anger and hatred and vitriol and forced more people into the shadows.
So this is undercutting the middle class, as the book Screwed by Hartman says.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. An example of that.
Yeah. Millie, thanks for your call. Great to have you listening. Thanks very much. Now to Jake in Arcata. Hello, Jake.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great. And you know what, Jake?
Oh, go ahead.
I've been right here on my desk. I have been holding on to this letter from Jake Pickering to one of the Eureka papers, and I've been looking for the opportunity to read it. Would you like my dramatic reading right now?
Sounds good to me.
On May 31st, 2007, the Times Standard reported that the North Coast do-nothing Republican-light Congressman Mike Thompson has embarked on a five-day intelligence oversight trip to the United Kingdom and Sweden. The purpose, according to his office, to examine the growth of religious extremism. Mike Thompson, founder of the conservative Blue Dog Caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives, is not only bankrolling his political campaigns with obscene amounts of blood money from the military-industrial complex, including criminal corporations like Lockheed Martin, but now Congressman Thompson is taking free European vacations at taxpayer expense. Tom DeLay would be proud. Why does the insincere Congressman Thompson continue his charade of pretending to be a Democrat? Ironically, Thompson makes the meaningless claim that strong intelligence is our best weapon for fighting terrorism. No wonder the U.S. is losing this colonial conflict with self-serving geniuses like George W. Bush and Mike Thompson calling the shots. In the future, if Congressman Thompson would like another free vacation courtesy of the American taxpayers to examine the growth of religious extremism, I suggest we save some of our tax dollars by sending Mike Thompson to an extreme religious destination closer to home, like James Dobson's Colorado Springs, Colorado, or Jerry Falwell's Lynchburg, Virginia. Being a self-styled conservative Blue Dog Democrat, Mike Thompson would be much more at home in a locale like Lynchburg than he is here in Northern California anyway. And furthermore, why would North Coast Democrats continue to accept Mike Thompson as their so-called representative when Congressman Thompson is clearly aligned more closely with the Republican Party than he is with local Democrats? Please don't run for office again, Congressman Thompson. You're a Democrat that only Joe Lieberman could love.
Thank you, Peter.
Jake, thank you. You're a hell of a writer, and you give adjective and invective a higher calling.
Well, in this case, it's deserved. We've had this congressman in place for 10 years, and he's done nothing in office, basically, other than serve himself. And what I don't understand is why our so-called Democratic Congressman Mike Thompson is going to Sweden to study religious extremism at taxpayer expense. I'm sorry, but I wasn't aware that Sweden was a hotbed of religious extremism we needed to be worried about, Peter.
Not that I know of either, Jake. It hasn't reached me, and I do pay attention. Some things escape me, but I pay attention, and I haven't heard a damn thing about that.
Yeah, so I really don't appreciate Congressman Thompson lying to his constituents. If he wants to be as corrupt as the Republicans, he should just switch parties, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, has the Times Standard found space for your letter yet?
They actually did, as well as the Eureka Reporter and the Sonoma Index Tribune down there in Sonoma County ran it as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I feel pretty good about it. There was, some of the entrenched interests on the local Humboldt County Democratic Central Committee were quite upset about the letter, but, you know, they support Thompson, and, you know, without any questions asked, which is the problem with these local so-called leaders of the party. In fact, I'd like to let anyone know who might be interested in running for Humboldt County Democratic Central Committee.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is 20 signatures to get on the primary ballot next June. No money involved. Just call the Humboldt County Elections Office. And Republicans, the same thing. All you need is 20 signatures of registered voters, and you're on the ballot and can run for your central committee and go to the state convention. So people should look into it.
Yeah, great. Well, Jake, I distracted you with your letter. Was there something else you wanted to comment on today?
Oh, I had a few things. Well, just going back to the immigration debate. I mean, it's kind of funny to watch the Republican Party tear themselves apart over this, because you have the corporate interests. Of course, the real estate developers have a lot of sway in the Republican Party. They want the cheap labor, of course, to come in and undercut everybody's wages. But then again, they've been playing ever since Nixon's Southern strategy back in 68. They've been playing the race card. And all these people in the South that vote Republican for racial reasons, they want the wall. The Tom Tancredi was the Fred Thompsons. They want to build the wall. Of course, it's never going to happen because it would require, migrant labor to build the wall after all.
I think the wall would be more effective if they actually plastered Duncan Hunter's mug about every 50 feet.
That'd keep anyone out, knowing that guy was actually running for president. Duncan Hunter,
yeah.
Give me a break. The guy's a fool. How can he even get up on the stage and try to pretend he's a presidential candidate?
Yeah. It's amusing and scary all at the same time.
Sure is. Thanks, Peter.
All right. Thank you. Good to hear from you, Jake. Now to Steve in Salinas. Hello, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. I've got some thoughts on this immigration stuff.
All right.
One, I thought the guest you had on, she was looking for cheaper labor more than anything else. If she were to pay Americans more, she might not have to hire the people who are not here legally.
Well, did you hear her say that she has to hire college students to drive the trucks that her workers go to the job sites on,
right.
And they're not interested in doing the gardening?
Yeah, but we have a whole bunch of folks down here that are not college students who need jobs.
Mm-hmm. But will they do agricultural labor?
Well, if they were paid, I think they might. I don't know.
I mean, Steve, I do understand your point that I don't take at face value the claim that undocumented workers only do the work that Americans refuse to do. But I think some of it is true.
I think to a certain point, yes. But if we went after the employers and really went after them hard, then we'd find out. If they could only hire people who are here legally,
mm-hmm.
then we would find out. If they really couldn't find anybody, then we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And another thing on this bill that really scares me, and I only heard this one blurb. I think it's like a 300-page bill. Somewhere in the back page is there something allowing corporations to import skilled labor from Latin American countries.
Well, we're going to go into this in more depth tomorrow, Steve, with David Bacon. He's an immigrant activist and a photojournalist and writer, and he penned a piece that I read that we'll talk about on the program tomorrow about how the high-tech companies like Microsoft and the Silicon Valley employers believe that they're going to get their way out of this bill, and that relates to the H-1B visas for skilled workers who can be brought in and also used effectively to hold down the wages of American citizens. And those people, of course, can be subject to deportation on the whim of the employer. So it's not a perfect picture from anybody's point of view.
That might cut down on the outsourcing, though.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are complex, interconnected issues, and I, for one, don't try to oversimplify them and just say it's all a real cut-and-dried issue. There are many moving parts here, a lot of issues and economic forces and also human beings caught in the middle of it all. And what I don't like to see is people demonized and having things reduced to hateful epithets like amnesty.
One quick point, if I can. I'm not sure if this bill that didn't pass is going to do any good because I don't think most of the undocumented workers can really afford to pay what they're going to have to pay to get the...
And they're not going to go home and do a touchback either, or
right.
Whatever that's called. Thank you, Steve. More of your calls coming up next. Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B.
If you'd like to see The Police, Bon Jovi, Melissa Etheridge, John Mayer, and more, tune in this Sunday at 10 a.m. when Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, will be hosting the show. Jim will be highlighting the power of compounding your real estate investments. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's Ready?
That's right. Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's Ready!
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Well, Yahoo, here we go again. We have another traffic report, and let's talk a little about what is happening with a situation working in, San Jose, South 288 17. Pickup truck on its side in the right lane. The reason we're telling you about it is because traffic is extremely backed up in that area. Also need to tell you about what's going on in, CHP telling us about a problem. It is in Santa Cruz. It's northbound 17 after Highway 1. Pickup truck blocking the second lane from the left. Also looking at a problem in Aptos. It's southbound 1 right at State Park Drive. Well, heads up for a rather large box as opposed to a medium or small size box. It's in the lanes there. A little traffic humor with... Anyways, let's talk about our traffic report up brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, the cars more people rely on for fuel efficiency than any other nameplate. Test drive Toyota today.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the home stretch here, about 7 minutes away from the hour. And I'm heading out into the warm summer evening to see the Police. They've reunited for a summer tour, and they're performing in Oakland tonight at what they used to call the Coliseum. It's got some corporate name on it now. And I'm going to go rock out and see what the guys are up to. Should be interesting, and I'll have a little report for you tomorrow. Now, many progressives have been quite disappointed by the Democrats blinking on the supplemental. And we've heard some promises from Reid and Pelosi that they're going to keep the pressure on. They sent a letter to the White House today saying that the surge policy is a failure. Quote, as many had foreseen, the escalation has failed to produce the intended results. The increase in U.S. forces has had little impact in curbing the violence or fostering political reconciliation. It has not enhanced America's national security. The unsettling reality is that instances of violence against Iraqis remain high. Attacks on U.S. forces have increased. In fact, the last 2 months of the war were the deadliest to date for U.S. troops. All right. Keep it up, Pelosi and Reid. Find another way. Keep the pressure on. Here's Dave in the Pinnacles, San Benito County. Dave, welcome to the program today. Dave, do we have you? 54321. I guess he's not there. Let's see who's on line one. Who's this, please?
Hey, Frank from Marina.
Frank and Marina. Welcome, Frank. Here. Yeah, how you doing?
This, you know, this whole immigration thing is just subterfuge to get everybody against these hardworking immigrants. You know, like you said before, mostly Mexicans and Central Americans. The white Europeans have been here illegally. You hear nothing about them or the Asians. But the thing is, this is just like after the Civil War or during the, you know, the KKK period in the early part of the 20th century. Hey, send them back to Africa. Well, hell, they've been here for hundreds of years, you know, the black people. But it's like they don't belong here. We don't want them. We use them. We abuse them. And now get out of the country.
Well, and if the goal is...
It's the same thing. These poor Mexicans, I mean, they're just trying to make a living.
Right. And if the goal is to get people out of the shadows and out in the open, requiring them to pay a $5,000 fine and return to their home country to touch base... I mean, that is completely unrealistic, and yeah. I don't get the point of touching base.
No, like I say, it's just a diversion from this, from Iraq and everything else. But Putin, I think he's going to be the hope of the world. You know, the Russian bear defeated the Nazis in World War II, Peter.
Huh?
I said the Russians, you know.
Yeah, I hear you, but how is Putin? How does Putin shape up?
Okay. First of all, he's... got to put Bush in place with these military bases, these missile systems in Eastern Europe, in Romania, Czechoslovakia, or wherever else, Bulgaria, Poland.
There's Poland and the Czech Republic, yeah.
Yeah. And
radars in Poland, missiles in... radars in the Czech Republic, missiles in Poland.
And it's not going to be against, you know, so alleged Iranian missiles or North Korean. I mean, Putin knows this.
Right.
The thing is...
No, it'd be more believable if he said it was to protect Europe from errant Game Boy systems.
Yeah. But it's part of the master plan to eventually take over Russia and then eventually China. And...
Not the case, Frank, because we can't manage the United States, much less take on some huge colonies like that.
No, I know.
Okay, give me your final thought. Go ahead.
What'd you think of the ending of The Sopranos?
I thought it was pretty cool.
I did too.
It surprised me, but
so?
I give Chase a lot of credit. Thank you, Frank.
Okay.
Dave is back from the Pinnacles. We got a minute and a half. Dave, go ahead.
Hi, Peter. Hey, Peter, I just went up to San Francisco over the weekend, and we stopped in at the bookstore, the Barnes & Nobles in Gilroy. And, you know, that's the largest regional bookstore of Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, Hollister.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a total lack of any information about the 911 attack as far as alternative viewpoints. And I tried to get David Ray Griffin's book. They don't have it. It's like, is this some corporate conspiratable plot to keep books off shelves? You know, censorism can show itself in many forms besides a bonfire in front of a building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, backroom deals to keep books off of shelves, it can have just a horrible effect on our ability to be a free people. And I'm just convinced that the lack of these books not being available is part of a deep, dark secret.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's late in the show here, but I will look into this and see if we can find somebody who has checked the, you know, availability of various books and see if both progressive titles and important topics like 9/11 Truth are somehow being banned from the shelves.
Thanks a lot.
I'll look into that. When I was on the Tom Hartman program on Air America last week, there were people who were emailing and calling suggesting that there is a gag order on radio talk show hosts not to talk about 9/11 Truth. And if there is, I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me about it. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm much obliged, ma'am and sir.
Happy trails to you.
We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same stations. Hope you'll join us then.
Again.
For archive programs and to catch our live stream, go to peterbcollins.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. What we have here is a failure to communicate. A federal report on the Virginia Tech massacre out today says it might have been averted if doctors, police, and school officials shared what they knew about the mental state of Sung-hui Cho.
Those who engage in this kind of terrible activity often signal before they do it that they intend to. And if they send signals, it's possible for us to hear them and interrupt it. And we need to do a better job of that.
Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt. Changes in federal law are on the way.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The House passed its first gun control measure in 10 years aimed at closing the loophole that let the Virginia Tech shooter buy his guns. It would provide money for states to improve computer systems to report people committed for mental treatment or convicted of serious felonies. They're barred from buying guns, but only, says New York Democrat Carolyn McCarthy, if the federal government knows about them.
It's the state's responsibility to ensure this information is current and accurate.
The bill passed because of an unusual coalition between gun control advocates like McCarthy and the National Rifle Association. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Rimonabant, a diet pill that blocks sensations of hunger, is available in 18 countries, but it won't be coming here anytime soon. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports a Food and Drug Administration advisory panel rejected it unanimously today.
FDA investigators highlighted a number of concerns about side effects, especially suicidal thoughts and behavior and other psychiatric reactions. In a last-ditch attempt to win over the panel, the maker of the drug pledged to screen out patients with past histories of depression. But a representative of a group that fights discrimination against obese and overweight people warned that would be impossible, that desperation would drive many to try to get the drug whatever way they could.
A new Pentagon report says the violence in Iraq has gotten worse since the troop surge began, but White House spokesman Tony Snow says they never promised things would get better overnight.
It is naive to think suddenly, boom, you snap a finger and you've got an instant change in the situation.
The situation may have deteriorated further today when bombers destroyed the minarets of the Shiite holy shrine in Samarra, the same shrine where the Golden Dome was destroyed last year, igniting waves of sectarian violence. Congressional committees investigating the firings of eight U.S. attorneys issued subpoenas today for White House political director